from the Radio Ranch in the heart of Liberty. Liberty, Texas, that is. It's the Bombastic Blogcast for Monday, April 22nd, 2024. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
You're yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, and one heck of a nice guy. Just ask anybody, they'll tell you. And since it is Monday, let's do the Monday march back to work. Throw your backbone into it, put a smile on your face, take a deep breath, and keep a prayer on your lips, and trust me, everything's going to be just fine. Let's get things started officially with
the Daily Datagram.
You got it. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. It says here, if all else fails, read the directions. Yeah. Then again, where's the challenge in that?
Most illogical reaction.
Let's move along now to the so-called educational part of the big broadcast. Here we go.
Twisted history.
This will be good.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
I was there.
Some cool, some not so cool. Just the same, you need to know your twisted history.
Yes, you do.
You might be quizzed.
Well, kids, it was on this day in 1889 at high noon. Thousands rushed to claim land in the land rush of 1889. That's where within hours, the cities of Oklahoma City and Guthrie were formed with populations of at least 10,000 people. By the way, it was a story that was beautifully depicted in the movie Cimarron. I don't know if you can rent that or buy it or what, but it was a great movie. And it was on this day in 1977, optical fiber was first used to carry live telephone traffic. And thanks to this amazing technology, telemarketers can bother you all hours of the day or night from greater distances in crystal clear digital sound.
Hello!
The problem at the southern border has been raging for years, lots and lots of years, and it's only getting worse by the day, particularly under this administration. And now we have a U.S. judge who sent out one scary cry for help after being overrun by the southern border. Now, since Joe Biden has assumed office in January of 21, there have been nearly 10 million or more encounters between Border Patrol agents and we'll call them invaders, trying to cross the U.S. southern border with Mexico. Now, what are the intentions of these people coming across the border? I think for the great majority, they just want a better life. And a good majority of them are indeed fleeing places where tyranny on the part of their governments is intolerable. Venezuela, for one. Things are on the decline in places like Colombia as well. And Brazil has basically gone communist. Certainly heavy socialist, so it's understandable that people would flee to the United States. But we're still getting amazing reports of all these young men of soldier age coming in alone, jumping across the border. And a good many of them are Chinese. We've already gotten Chinese in here in the tens of thousands. So there's basically a Chinese army roaming free here in the contiguous 48 United States. So, during the fiscal year of 2023, more than 3 million illegal aliens reached America's shores, according to the official numbers from the Customs and Border Patrol annual reports. That is an unbelievable amount of illegal aliens. And it's an issue that the White House isn't doing doodly squat to fix. And the White House is certainly never going to help the state of Texas with any real tangible help. The fact that every step of the way, the White House has tried to make the job of the Texas government more difficult by suing Governor Greg Abbott right and left. Well, mostly left. And these massive numbers can almost make it difficult to wrap your head around the issue and just how dire it is. I mean, it went beyond the point of important a long time ago. Now it's dire. So it's critical to listen to those who are dealing with the issue every day on the southern border to hear how the rest of the nation's supposed to help. So consider this cry for help from a Texas judge who's urging the state to step in and provide assistance to local authorities grappling with the aftermath of this alien surge, breaching a border barrier and entering U.S. territory unlawfully. Over 100 migrants forcibly entered the U.S. side of the border on Friday, with some cutting through the concertina wire, that's that razor wire along the Rio Grande. And this led to their mass arrest by the DPS, that's the Texas Department of Public Safety. It's like the Highway Patrol. They also oversee the Texas Rangers. However, local facilities are now strained as they're holding these aliens awaiting trial. So El Paso County Judge Ricardo Samaniego highlighted the strain on resources, noting that the jail annex is currently at 94% capacity. And he emphasized that a repeat incident would overwhelm their capacity entirely. So Samaniego suggested that the Texas Department of Public Safety step in to assist with managing the influx. And he said it would be very beneficial if the Texas Department of Public Safety were to take charge. They could provide magistrates, shelters, and all necessary resources. Well, state inmates bring financial burdens, of course, to counties and locals, you know, local communities, as housing them could mean rejecting federal prisoners. And federal prisoners bring revenue. For instance, federal inmates generate up to $87 a day for El Paso County, while state inmates cost $110 a day. So these statements from the judge basically echo the pleas of officials across the country grappling with the border crisis, because Texas isn't the only state dealing with this. And in each case, in each state, they're exhausting resources and taxpayer money. You got New York City Mayor Eric Adams consistently calling for more federal action, leading to budget cuts in city services. Denver Mayor Mike Johnston redirected funds from the police force to support services for illegal aliens, while Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson sought an extra $70 million in migrant assistance from the city council. And in each case, you're talking about Democrat mayors. Democrat mayors who are only throwing fuel on the fire by making things worse. I mean, why aren't these mayors on a bus to Washington, D.C. to beg Congress to do something? To pressure the president to do something? Well, the reason they're not doing this is because all of this is intentional. They want to overwhelm our system so that you and I get to the point where we go to the government and say, you've got to do something, you've got to help us. And then eventually the government will come back and say, okay, we'll do something, but it's going to cost you. And then what they're going to do is they're going to pull a scene from that classic movie Dr. Zhivago. And they're going to come to your house and they're going to demand that you help house these people. I mean, how this country hasn't broken out in revolution by now is really beyond me. And I'm wondering how much longer it'll take. Because after November 5th, if this election doesn't go the way it needs to go, I really don't believe this is going to be a very safe country to live in. And don't look to Canada. So, this migration influx toward northern cities started under Texas Governor Greg Abbott's Operation Lone Star, which was brilliant. He just started transporting thousands of migrants to places like New York City, Chicago, Denver. And the reason he did it was because they have loudly, over the years, these cities have loudly proclaimed themselves to be sanctuary cities. Well, put your money where your mouth is. Now, Biden's tenure has seen record levels of migrant encounters at the southern border, of course. And the Congressional Budget Office, the CBO, revealed that over 3 million foreign nationals entered the U.S. illegally and were paroled into the country or overstayed their visas in fiscal year just 2023 alone. And while the southern border traditionally gets more attention regarding illegal border crossings, there have been increasing concerns about similar issues along the northern border of the United States. Have you seen the boats landing on the California beaches? Happened last week. A rather small boat, but it looked to be like maybe 20, 30 people on the boat, just landed on a beach near Malibu. and then scattered. They got out of the boat and just started scattering in all directions. All factors contributing to this include heightened attention on the southern border, which may lead some migrants to seek alternative routes, like these boat people. And additionally, economic, social, and political factors in neighboring countries, like Canada, can influence migration patterns. Although the scale may not match that of the southern border, the trend of increasing illegal immigration at the northern border as well underscores the need for comprehensive border security strategies and immigration policies that address challenges on both fronts. And the thing that I don't understand is, with all the high-tech gear that we have at our disposal, why isn't it being used? Now, recently, the U.S. Senate decided to throw out impeachment trials brought against Alejandro Mayorkas, government liar number one. What a despicable son of a basket he is. But the Senate decided to throw the impeachment proceedings out on him. And it's just, I don't know. These claims are on the basis that illegal immigration continues to worsen while Mayorkas claims otherwise, sits there and lies through that ugly face of his to Congress. The border is secure. The border is secure. BS. You know, and it's funny because he's testifying to Congress, claiming the border is secure. And yet, if he were to provide that kind of testimony under oath in a courtroom, he would be charged with perjury. Same song, different verse. Sports Illustrated swimsuit model Kristen Luell Gaffney is fed up with California, and she's out of there. She's 34 years old, and she blasted California's homeless and drug crisis as a reason she and her two-time Super Bowl champion hubby, Tyler Gaffney, took their three kids and fled to Nashville. Now, she's a San Diego native, which I think is kind of telling. And she was speaking with Fox News recently, saying that she was fed up with policies created by President Biden, Governor Gavin Newsom, and city governments that have fueled the problems. She says, the more we claim, and I use the word claim very strongly, that we're helping these people, it seems like the situation is getting worse. She says, a lot of people came to L.A. thinking this is the land of my dreams. This is the land of opportunity. This is where I can create something and make a name for myself. L.A. homelessness. There's nothing like it. I've been on the East Coast. I've been on the West Coast. I've been in the Bay Area. This is the dirtiest I've seen our cities. Now, you think about that for a second. This is coming out of the mouth of a very beautiful, very well-known Sports Illustrated swimsuit model, married to a likewise well-known sports figure, and they've had enough of California. They're going to Nashville. Again, it's very understandable. Nashville's a nice town. It's beautiful countryside there. Oh, my God. They call it God's country for good reason. And Nashville is up and coming. And if Nashville isn't careful, they, too, will end up seeing a lot of the same problems that you're seeing out in Los Angeles. But it's not as likely because, well, Tennessee is a red state. So Gaffney says she's contributed plenty with her taxes and was offended over politicians asking for more. She says, you've taken enough from us, and you're only showing me that it's getting worse. Now, the move was blamed specifically on the homeless crisis fueled by an increase in the cost of living, which has created an unsafe living environment for Gaffney to raise her young kids, which is very understandable. And then you add to that something else they don't talk about, and that is the lax no bail and low bail policies of the DAs out in that part of the country. Criminals are running almost unimpeded on the streets of places like LA and San Francisco, and not limited to those two cities either, I might add. So she says, I quite frankly feel a little bit taken advantage of when I, too, have had to struggle and create my own opportunities through hard work and education. Great point. Somebody's finally speaking up for the people who work for a living. She says, why should somebody have a piece of my hard work? And In that statement, she was specifically referencing Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass, who just last week pleaded for wealthy residents to pay for housing for the homeless. They have a campaign out there called LA for LA. And it was announced by Mayor Bass during her State of the City address last week. And Bass claimed the homeless crisis was driving away businesses and customers, costing taxpayers city resources and creating safety issues. But that, again, let me reiterate, part of this problem, too, is being exacerbated by the fact that they have this stupid low bail and no bail policy among all of their or most of their DAs, which, by the way, those DAs found their way into office with the help of George Soros. Now, in 2022, California had the largest homeless population in the country, with 28% of all homeless. You usually equate states like Louisiana or Mississippi or Alabama as states with the highest, not so much homeless, but highest poverty. Nope, that award goes to California these days. And according to a U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development report released in December, just this last December, California also had the highest rate of unsheltered people at 68%. That's 123,423 were unsheltered. So Gaffney said she was constantly giving money but wasn't seeing the results of the donations, especially when it came from homeless families cared by single mothers, veterans, and the elderly who should be the first recipients of free housing. Anybody care to argue with that? Not me. She said drug addicts should be last on the list. We should be focusing on the people that need help. I don't know about you. She may be a swimsuit model now, but I'm hearing the words of a future politician, a future stateswoman. She added she was tired of seeing the money she worked hard for go to people to live off the system without any effort of leaving it. She says, let's create more opportunities and less systems that are handout systems that people are absolutely taking advantage of. We're constantly giving. What more do you want from us? I think she states it very well here. And the Gaffneys are joining the growing list of celebrities who are moving out of California. Dean Cain is one, and Mark Wahlberg another. Dean and Mark have moved their families to Las Vegas. Oh, another one. Actor Scott Baio traded his $4 million mansion in California to live in Florida due to the same fears. Sylvester Stallone and his wife revealed their move to Florida in February, but didn't cite crime being the reason. So, I don't know. Ms. Gaffney says there's crime everywhere. There's crime in Florida, too. So I didn't move because of crime. You can find it anywhere you look, even in small towns. Good point. She says, I think California is probably the most beautiful state in the United States. I absolutely love it, but I just needed a change. I felt like I've been there long enough and life is short, so I wanted to make a change and not just be sitting in one house the rest of my life. And I can really identify with this. I'm twice her age. But am I twice her age? Yes, I'm more than twice her age. She's 34. So I'm in a situation where I know that my time is limited. I only have a certain few years left. And do I want to be around all this crime? Or do I want to be somewhere where it's more peaceful? And I just recently moved to the town of Liberty, Texas, which is about 45 miles east of downtown Houston. And it's a little bitty town, less than 10,000 people. And then just a couple of miles west of Liberty is the town of Dayton. Nice little town. And I'm getting accustomed to the quieter lifestyle out here. I don't know how long I'll stay here. I would like to eventually move closer to my daughter over in Clear Lake City, Texas, where the Johnson Space Center is. But I don't know. I'm just going to weigh my options. For right now, though, I'm enjoying the peace and quiet of Liberty, Texas. And when I see what people in states like California and Washington State and Oregon and Minnesota, for that matter, what they're subjecting themselves to by constantly voting for these idiot leftists, these hardcore leftists, you know, I want to shake these people and say, what the hell is the matter with you? You cannot be a friend to everybody. This has been proven time and time again throughout human history. You can't be everybody's friend. And yet I think that's what's the undoing of Speaker Mike Johnson. Now, initially, we all thought Johnson was a really nice guy. I mean, come on, the man's from Louisiana, culturally a very good part of the country to be from. But now we get word that Representative Ro Khanna, Democrat of California, said yesterday on ABC's This Week that he would vote to table any motion to vacate House Speaker Johnson because he advanced a foreign aid package with separate bills to support Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. Now, I think the big bone of contention here is the fact that Johnson, is championing this Ukraine thing. And true conservatives want nothing to do with this Ukraine support anymore. It's bleeding our country dry financially. So anyhow, getting back to this ABC program this week yesterday, Jonathan Carl, the host, said, Congressman Khanna, does Speaker Johnson deserve credit for how this played out? And Khanna said, he does. Look, we came into Congress together and he always cared about civility. He actually led the civility pledge. And we had one issue, which was give individual votes. Don't lump things together. And I gave him credit for doing this. I would actually vote to table any motion to vacate him. You know, Congressman McCall quoted Churchill. One of the things Churchill said is that America's always exhausted every wrong option until doing the right thing. And this shows that American democracy still is very strong. And don't get me wrong, I'm not coming to Khanna's defense. But on this one point, he's right. Churchill did say that. Now, was Churchill right? Partially. But that's how that plays out. Now, Jonathan Carl on ABC said, you just said something significant. You said you would oppose the motion to vacate. In other words, you'll protect Speaker Johnson's job if Marjorie Taylor Greene and the others go through with their threat to try to remove him. And Khanna said, I would through the end of the term. I expect Speaker Jeffries will be there in 2025. Carl said, right, not Speaker. Yes, yes. Understand, I'm reading direct quotes here from a transcript from the show. And Khanna said, but look, I'm a progressive Democrat, and I think you'd have a few progressive Democrats doing that. And I agree with Speaker Johnson on many issues and have been very critical of him. But he did the right thing here, and he deserves to keep his job until the end of his term. But that is merely Mr. Khanna's opinion. Now, I'm gonna leave it up to you. Do you think that Johnson deserves to stay in place, Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House? He was really good there at the very beginning. But lately, he's had people scratching their heads, particularly staunch conservatives, scratching their heads, wondering, all right, just whose side is this guy on? And he's championing the continued financing of this war between Ukraine and Russia. Now, every time that you go to the grocery store, correct me if I'm wrong, prices are up, right? Now, I usually visit the grocery 2 to 3 times a week because I run out of the little incidentals. And when I think of how much I was paying for a 6-pack of Diet Dr. Pepper prior to Joe Biden's arrival in the Oval Office, I was paying $2.50 at Walmart. $2.50. Now, I'm lucky to get out of there for less than $4. And the prices keep inching upward and upward and upward. Now, you saw what happened to gasoline here over the last week or two, right? I think in the last week and a half, gasoline has gone up an average of 20 to 25 cents a gallon. And this continues, and it's going to continue until we finally grow a pair and say no to Ukraine. And why must we, you know, in the NATO group, support Ukraine? Ukraine means nothing to us. Saving Ukraine from Russia really means nothing to us in the overall scope of things. But you see, you have this contingent, the military-industrial complex that Eisenhower spoke of in Washington, who are just keen on feeding this monster, this war monster. And they'll continue to feed this thing until you and I finally get to the point where we cut the government off and say, no more. This stops here and it stops now. And if we have to kick Mike Johnson out of the speaker's chair to do it, then so be it. You know Tiffany Gomez, don't you? The infamous crazy plain lady from Texas who went viral last year? Yeah, well, she drew fire on social media this weekend after she posted a photo of herself wearing an ultra-right beer bikini while saying, "Men don't belong in women's sports." And then she captioned the post, "Wonder how many people I'm going to piss off with this post." And then later she said, "So is now an appropriate time to tell y'all men don't belong in women's sports?" I like this. So, anyhow, founded by businessman Seth Weathers after Bud Light partnered with Dylan Mulvaney in that Bud Light debacle. Now, this guy, Seth Weathers, founded Ultra Right Beer, and it bills itself as a 100% woke-free American beer and garnered a lot of traction when it released a Real Women of America calendar that featured various right-wing influencer women posing in ultra-right merchandise, the bikini being chief among them. And last year, the internet went ablaze over a video of Gomez having a total meltdown aboard an alleged imaginary, imaginary person on an American Airlines flight from Dallas to Orlando. It was kind of a creepy looking video. I don't know what was behind that. Was she on something? I don't know. But she was saying things in the video that I can't repeat here. But anyhow, the flight suffered a delay as Gomez was allowed to depart before takeoff, thank goodness. And for weeks, people speculated as to who she was and even started postulating conspiracy theories that she'd disappeared after uncovering some nefarious government plot. Well, as it turned out, the woman was 38-year-old Tiffany Gomez, a marketing executive from Texas. Now, from a marketing standpoint, that was a big success. You know, she sure got a lot of attention. And in a video posted to X later that year, she apologized for the incident. And it was a sincere apology. You could pretty well tell that. And she said, for instance, "First and foremost, I want to take full accountability for my actions. They were completely unacceptable. Distressed or not, I should have been in control of my emotions, and that was not the case." Well, anyhow, this lady apparently is to be watched. Be watching for her on X, because I have a very distinct feeling she's going to be appearing more and more frequently. And I believe she's going to be championing some really staunch conservative causes between now and the election November 5th. I mean, I like her stance on this thing. Men don't belong in women's sports. Tiffany, you are forgiven for your antics on board that flight. Now, bring us some great material, okay? To the Comedy Corner with Mal Hall.
We should put that See Something, Say Something campaign in restrooms, at restaurants. I think that's appropriate. Every single person in this room has been into a restroom, and you guys all look like clean, nice people, so we've all seen the same thing. You're in there washing your hands because you care about germs and hygiene. And in the mirror, you see somebody come out of the stall and walk directly into the restaurant. We've all seen it, and we've never said a thing. We just judge them in the mirror, like, "Look at this disgusting, who raised you?" And if you guys are anything like me, you'll finish washing your hands and go into the restaurant and try to find that person. And you will always find that person. They're always eating nachos or some finger food with other people. And we don't say anything, we just go, "Ooh." And we immediately go to our table and point them out. Bro. See that dude right there? That dude in the blue shirt, he just pooped and didn't wash his hands. They're eating nachos! That's where it's appropriate. See something, say something. I don't know you guys, but I deputize all of you. The next time you see that behavior, say something. Those people don't deserve E. coli. Just tell them. Just walk over there. "Hey, fellas, this is happy hour's about to change. I want to let you know that. This dude right here, yeah, Brad, he just pooped and didn't wash his hands. Enjoy the nachos, then go back to your table and watch the show."
Oh
I do it, man. I'm a see something, say something when it comes to hygiene. And that's where my first fight happened. I'm also the kind of person that, like, takes ownership of the stores in my neighborhood. I don't know if you guys are like that, but, like the Target in my neighborhood, that's my Target. That's my Costco. You know, that's my fill in the blank. Like, I'm that person. Like, what Costco are you guys going to? My Costco or the one on the other side? Oh, okay, yeah. My Costco's better, just so you know. Like, ownership.
That's it. Make it a marvelous Monday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's bombastic blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
That's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.